Hope y'all can hear me okay. As a musician, I ask, how are the levels? Are they doing good? Okay, so I guess I should just start out by saying Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I can't hear you. All right, awesome. It's a set apart time. It's a party with Father Yah, is it not? Okay. Tom and Cornelia, thank you very much, first and foremost, for giving me the honor and the privilege of being able to speak to you guys today. We came in a couple weeks ago, Jay and I, to worship, not to teach, not to draw attention to ourselves. I make one little comment about Abraham, and next thing I know, here I am. Okay, thank you. I also want to say thank you, Scott. Solid Parsha, man. Really enjoyed it. I just wanted to say that. If only, which is the other meaning for Ekev, if only there was more. Thank you. And Gary and Karen, love your music as always. Thank you so much for bringing that atmosphere here.
That's right.
Thank you. All right. And now I got to follow all that. Great. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Okay. So about last fall was the first time that Jay and I were able to travel because of that COVID thing. And so naturally there was sort of a lot of excitement. And one of the first places that we went to, and we hadn't been there for like almost 2 years. And when I'd go to this particular place in Minnesota, right, it's called Tabernacle of David, some of you may be familiar with it, I thought they'd want me to teach on my normal stuff. Calendar, astronomy, history, all these things that I do in terms of, you know, the deep Torah studies that I do on onefaithonepeopleministries.com. But the first most urgent thing on that assembly leader's mind was, we need prayer. We need to get back to prayer. We need to go back to the basics. This is what he's telling me. And I had not really put together a prayer teaching before that time, you know, because I thought others would be doing stuff. This guy would be doing prayer. This guy would be doing what is salvation. This guy would be doing why is Yeshua the Messiah. And I do all this other stuff. Scott, you know the type of stuff I get into, right? So, but you know what? He was right. We need to get back to basics. When we are in uncertain times, we need him more.
Amen.
Not less.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
So maybe some of this will be a bit of a basic review for y'all. I hope I won't make it too boring. I guess we'll see. But for others, it might be very good to go back to what are the components of prayer? What are the different kinds of prayer? What were the situations in Scripture that required very special, powerful kinds of prayer? I'm going to start this by letting you know something that many of you may find surprising. The word prayer, the official word for prayer, tefillah, does not appear in any part of the Torah. Not from Genesis 1 to anywhere to the end of Deuteronomy do we get the official word for prayer. Y'all can look it up. I hope you do. Seriously. But what we do get are different aspects of prayers, different elements of prayers. And it takes a while before these different strands of the prayer activity manifest in that one master term that brings everything together, tefillah. So let's talk about this. From the very beginning, Father Yah chose special people that he would walk with. This is a very powerful term, to walk with Father Yah. Okay? It started with Adam. He was the first of a series of what I call in another teaching, the walking dedicated men. Right? Not dedicated walking men, walking dedicated men. Anyway, these people had two-way intimate conversations with the great I Am. And so that's a very special thing that was happening in the primordial time, those first 19 generations before Abraham comes on the scene, right? That they would be walking with him. But it's not prayer per se. This kind of activity is what I term, and you guys may have another opinion, and that's totally cool. I call that panim al panim. Face to face, right? Because when you're walking with the Creator, as the prophet Amos says, two cannot walk unless they have an agreement. We have to agree to walk with Him so that He will agree to walk with us.
That's right.
That's what covenant is. Now, in other cases, like Noah, you get a prayer in the form of a blessing or a proclamation, right? A blessing is a form of prayer. May Yah make you like whatever, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Rachel and Leah, and so on. That is a proclamation, but it is also a prayer to ask Father Yah to bless us. Here's the thing. When we look at the great biblical people, when we look at our spiritual heritage of what's going on, right? One thing that is different than the way a lot of folks pray today, this is just my observation, see if you agree with me. A lot of folks tend to ask Father Yah to bless them. A righteous person always blesses Yahweh first. Every single prayer that we learn, when I learned growing up Jewish in New York, going to Hebrew school since age 5, the first 3 words are Baruch Atah Adonai. Blessed is Adonai. Right? So you must always bless him first. And the fact that we are told by Yeshua that your Father in heaven knows what you are going to ask for. He knows what you need before you even ask him.
Amen.
That might be a clue. Put those requests towards the end. He already knows. You don't need to. Okay. So the next type of thing that happens in terms of prayer, in terms of an actual event in the Tanakh, in the Torah, is with respect to Abraham. In Genesis 20, Abraham is the first person that offers what you could view as a prayer. But again, the word for prayer is not being used in Genesis 20. Okay? Instead, the Hebrew uses the word palal, which means to intercede. Abraham is praying on behalf of Abimelech, who mistakenly thought that Sarah was his sister. Never mind that Abraham told him that. Okay. And so, yeah, kind of got caught in an international incident there, Abe. Not cool. Okay. Why don't you go to the Hittites and make things bad for them too while you're at it? Then you can have both sides against you. Right? So, in any case, with regards to that, Abraham did a one-way communication to Father Yah, and Father Yah said, yep, no problem. You can see other examples of this type of intercession or palal in 1 Samuel 7:5 and 12 verse 19 and verse 23 and 23 verse 11. That's all in 1 Samuel. Okay? But the next occasion that really needs a lot of prayer is Yaakov coming home. Yaakov fleeing his brother Esau. 20 years this guy's on the road. Okay? And the last that he heard, Esau said, let the mourning for my father be completed, and then I will go kill my brother, Yaakov. That might put a crimper on the family reunion plans, do you think? Just a little bit? So Jacob is terrified being reunited with his brother Esau. By the way, when Esau hears that Yaakov has come home, the first thing he does is send 400 of his best friends. Not intimidating at all. Nice swords, guys. Anyway, here's the thing. There is a kind of prayer dialogue where he, in effect, reminds Father Yah of the promises that he made to him earlier. Right? He's almost trying to bargain. And that's something that Abraham also tried to bargain. But there is no bargaining with Father Yah. You may think you're bargaining with Father Yah. But really, he's already decided what he's going to do because he already knows what you're going to do because whatever your future is, he's already there. Yeah. Yeah, sorry to say that, but it's true. What about free will? Well, to you it looks like free will, right? That's what I will say. It looks like free will. Some things are variable and some things are fixed. And I'll just leave it at that because I know that's a question I get a lot. Is it Pharaoh's fault that Father Yah hardened his heart? Yeah, it actually is. So, anyway. So here's the thing. He makes this really dramatic prayer. And the word for the prayer that Jacob gives is Na. Na means a deliverance request. Either physical or spiritual or both is covered under this prayer, this term, Na. Moshe will use this form of prayer, this Na deliverance request, when trying to save 2 million people from certain destruction at least 3 times by my count. Maybe, there's maybe a fourth one. Exodus 33:13 and 18 and 34 verse 9 shows the Na deliverance request prayer. And Numbers 12 verse 13, 14 verse 17 and 19, and Deuteronomy 3 verse 25, which hopefully you guys remember because that was in a parsha not too long ago from where we are today. Now, there's another kind of prayer. It's a simple ask. Like we say today, I know this is a big ask. Well, the word for ask is sha'al. You're making this sha'al, this request. Now, if sha'al sounds familiar to you guys, there's a reason. It's from sha'al that you get sha'ul, Saul. There's an interesting wordplay that happens with respect to Samuel's birth, for example. Samuel was originally named Shaul, Saul, by his mother, because she had asked El for a child, right? But then when Father Yah grants the request, he now says, Yah heard me, or El heard me. So the name switches from Shaul to Shemuel, El heard. See? It also may be helpful that since the king Samuel is going to be most associated with is also named Shaul, that might have been a little confusing. Okay? So, I'm sorry. What Shaul said? What? Oh my goodness. So, Shaul is a very important aspect of prayer. So, what may seem surprising, again, is while prayer activity, again, clearly mentioned in the Torah, we still haven't gotten to that special term, that overarching umbrella term, tefillah. Okay? Now, let's talk about how the process for prayer emerges from these different types of strands that we've been talking about. We begin to get a hint as to how to pray with another Hebrew word that's given in the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 26. And in that place, the word is athar. Athar means to supplicate. Now you're not just making a sha'al, a request. Now you are actually bringing your humility specifically into that request to supplicate is bowing low, bowing in submission. And then you ask your question. But of course, before you ask your question, you praise him, as we've already gone over. So I hope this is all making sense. I'm going too fast or anything? Okay. So this implies submission and commitment must be in your heart. Don't fake it. He will know. I promise you that. Okay? Think Nebuchadnezzar's grass mowing service, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm glad all you got that. Okay. But here's the thing. While Tefillah has all these aspects of prayer under its umbrella, Tefillah itself only refers to prayer. So it's like this is your one-stop shopping for understanding prayer. If we go by that definition, the very first man who uttered a Tefillah in all of its component parts, as opposed to a general plea, a deliverance request, and so on, the very first one who did it was King David. And when King David does the first official Tefillah in the scripture, it is powerful. I mean, we're going to spend some time going through this, okay? As much as people want to study, and I'll get to Yeshua's prayer towards right at the end, you know, what we call the Slotha de Moran in Aramaic, the Lord's Prayer. A lot of what Yeshua did, David kind of paved the way for. So have Yeshua's prayer in mind as I read from 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 through 29. This is according to the scriptures, 1998. And King David went in and sat before Yahweh, and he said, "Who am I, O Master Yahweh, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small matter in your eyes." This was nothing. What's he doing? He's praising him first, isn't he? Just like we talked about. Right? "And you have also spoken in your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the teaching of man, O Master Yah. And what does David say to you? For you, Master Yahweh, know your servant. Because of your word, your Torah, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to make it known to your servant." See any requests coming? Does he seem even close? All right. "So you are great indeed, O Master Yahweh, for there is none like you, and there is no Elohim but you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Yisrael, the one nation on earth whom Elohim went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name?" So David's still not talking about himself. He may be getting a tiny bit closer. These are my people. This is Yisrael. But even when he's referencing it, he's basically saying, "You did this. I didn't do this. It may be my house, but you built it." And this is something else that's really important to understand in prayer. David is a king. He is a king over united Israel. But he doesn't pray like a king. David prays like a servant to the King of Kings, even while he is king. So guess what David did? He checked his crown at the door. Okay? Your rank, your privilege, your wealth, your titles, as much as you can cram on a business card, and boy, I've seen a few of those in my time. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. You, your nefesh, your soul is just as precious in Father Yah's sight as the person praying next to you. So David will not pray like a king. He will pray like a servant who needs the help of the King of Kings.
Amen.
Right?
He agrees.
So, He says, as we continue through this, Elohim went to redeem himself as a people, to make himself a name, and to do for you greatness, awesome deeds, for your land before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Mitzrayim, from the nations and their mighty ones. And you have established for yourself your people Yisrael as your own people forever. And you, Yahweh, have become their Elohim. And now, O Yahweh Elohim, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. Now, this is another important point. When David wants to get Father Yah to do something, he doesn't say, it wasn't fair that you haven't done this yet. He doesn't update his Facebook page and rant for a half an hour. Right? You know? And so what he does is, he says, I'm asking you to do this because you already told me you were going to do it. And maybe it was a little bit unclear because I was just a shepherd kid from the back of the house if I was going to do it, but I did. So now I'm asking, please, with all respect and peace, Father Yahweh, please do, now that I have done what you asked, please do this for me. It's still all about him. Even when he makes a request that is about David. This is like a prayer technology. Seriously. Its rules are phenomenal and graceful and elegant. And it's not just babbling anything that comes out of anyone's mouth. So he then says, and let your name be made great forever. Hallowed be thy name. Let your name be made great forever. Saying, Yahweh of hosts is the Elohim over Yisrael, and let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Yisrael, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I build you a house. Therefore, your servant has taken heart to pray this prayer. And there's Tefillah. This Tefillah, right there to you. So David comes to this with incredible spiritual focus, what we call in Hebrew, kavana. He is putting together everything into this one utterance. And now, O Master Yahweh, you are Elohim, and your words are true, and you have spoken this goodness to your servant. And now, be pleased to bless the house of your servant to be before you forever, for you, O Master Yahweh, have spoken it. With your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. So when he finally asks for a blessing, it's only because he's saying to his heavenly father, Dad, you kind of told me this. I'm trying to go based on what you have said, not go out on my own and proclaim it as a king. Heaven forbid.
Amen.
Now, David, let's talk about this. Let's just say he was a complicated man, okay? He had his flaws, like many of us do. But what makes David different, the reason he was able to get forgiveness, even for the worst stuff that he ever did,
Amen.
Is because that man knew how to pray.
Amen.
We need to learn what David knows.
Amen.
Right? So let's look at the different kinds of prayer. The first one that I picked up is what I call the young Samuel prayer, which you might know as, Speak, O Yah, for I, your servant, am listening. Remember that? Let's go back to that story. Samuel had been adopted by Eli, the high priest, maybe because Eli's sons were not the best, right? And we know he's adopted, by the way, because he's sleeping in the part of the tent that is right next door to where the high priest sleeps. And he's 8 years old, maybe 9. He's got his cute little ephod. He's running around, you know, helping with the sacrifices, whatever he can do. adorable if you think about it, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so he goes to bed, and in the middle of the night, he hears Samuel. Samuel. I'm going to let you in on a real kingdom secret here. Anytime someone has their name said twice, they're about to get a promotion. Seriously, think about it. Abraham, you get that second Abraham when he put Yitzchak on the altar. For now I know that you have not withheld your only son from me. So now you get the blessing. Abraham, Moshe. And here, Samuel. So he gets up, he goes, so Eli's what, 95 at this point? Whatever it is, he just says, hey, you called. Wakes him up. And Eli's like, what are you doing, boy? I was fast asleep. He says, well, I heard a voice. He said, this is Samuel, so I came in. He'll go back to bed. You imagined it. So he goes back to bed, barely under the covers, and it happens a second time. Samuel. He's like, okay. So he goes back in. Same thing happens. And I can just imagine Samuel's shock when he goes to bed and hears it a third time. Samuel. That's three utterances of two, which is six, which is the number for work. 6 days, you shall work. He's getting ready to do his work. See that? Yeah. That's the math stuff. I'll try not to go too far into that. It's just the way I roll. But anyway. Yeah, a little math. So he goes in a third time, and finally Eli's getting a clue.
Yeah.
Finally, you heard it again? Yeah, I did. He says, you know what? That may be Father Yah trying to talk to you. He's like, well, what do I do about it? He's like, go back there and get on your knees and say, speak, O Yah, for I, your servant, am listening. And so he did. And from that point, Samuel set his foot on the path of righteousness, and it never left him. He's one of the very few people, there's maybe three that make this list by my count. No, not a single criticism really for anything. If you can fault him with anything, it's like he didn't quite see David for what he was going to be. That's after 80 years of service or something like that. I think we can give him a pass, right? But he never failed in his mission, ever, because he said, speak, O Father Yah, for I, your servant, am listening. And this is something that I don't see a whole lot of folks do. I'm not the prayer police any more than I'm the Torah police, or the sacred name police, or the calendar police. Not my job, folks. But I will tell you this, as earnestly as I possibly can. A lot of us ask Father Yah a question, say amen, get up, and don't wait for the answer. Would you do that to a friend? Seriously, think about it. What if I was talking with you, Tom, and I said, you know, Tom, I got this problem. I need to bend your ear for a bit. And I'm going on and on and on, as I can do. Just ask my lovely wife over there. And then you say, okay, I think I understand you. And I went, thanks, see ya. And I get up and I walk away. Have I honored him?
No.
Why do that to the creator of the universe?
Amen.
Think about it, folks. You sit there on your knees, you finish asking your question, you say amen, and it's coffee time. So at some point, we got to start figuring out how to make more time for the answer. Or at the very least, ask him to say, as I go through my day, O great Father Yah, will you please put the answer to the question that I asked somehow in my path, however you choose to do it, please, so I can know it and I can do the right thing. But don't just like, okay, no. And don't think that you're going to put Father Yah on a microwave timer. Popcorn, meat, Yah. Really? It's been 30 seconds. I haven't heard anything. Really? You'll be waiting a long time if you count it that way. Trust me on this. Then, of course, you get the Jabez prayer. Now, some guy took this little thing that's like three sentences. He wrote six books about this. Isn't America a great country or what? That someone can write six books about this three-line prayer. And it made a lot of shekel and shekel, you know? It's a lot of kesef, right? Shekelim. But you know what? Doesn't mean he was wrong. It's a good prayer. I guarantee you, hundreds of thousands of Christians probably never even looked at that part of Judges before this dude wrote this about this prayer. Okay? And what does he say? May Elohim enlarge my territory and prosper me. But wait, I'm supposed to be humble, aren't I? Let me tell you something. It's okay to ask to prosper as long as you do so under his command. If you're asking for yourself, that's one thing. But if you're asking so that you can perform the charge that he has placed on your life to do when you need the resources to do it, don't let this humility stand in your way. Please, because that's not humility. That is cowardice.
Amen.
Masquerading as humility. Wow. Right? So, it's okay to ask to do well, but you also have to make sure you do good.
Amen.
Because as the proverb says, the wicked store up wealth for the righteous. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
Which means at some point, righteous people are going to get those resources. So don't be scared.
Amen.
Right? Don't be scared. He's able to bless you.
Amen.
Don't be like King Ahaz, who just sort of says, well, I don't want to really ask. I don't want to bother him. Isaiah's like, I'm telling you, ask. And if you don't ask for a sign, I'm going to give you one anyway. I think it would have been better if Ahaz just asked for something on his own. Then the next thing, Solomon's dedication prayer for the Heikal, the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. Right? And one of the things that Solomon is also doing is a legacy prayer. Because this prayer is not about Solomon. You look at this thing in 1 Kings 7 and 8. And Solomon is basically trying to bring eternal blessings to his place. Now, Solomon is also an example of the idea, go big or go home. If anyone goes big and or goes home, it's Solomon.
Amen.
In fact, Solomon goes big in his home. Does he not? And so what he's saying is, listen, I want this temple to be so sacred. I want it to be so holy. I want it to be so magnificent that if I'm 2,000 miles away and I turn east to where that Heikal is, my sins are getting forgiven. Talk about a powerful ask.
Amen.
Now, I know that Solomon has some challenges in the what we call the last 20 years of his rule. But even though Father Yah will punish Solomon, and we all know what that punishment was, right? It doesn't hit Solomon. It hits his son, Rehoboam. Why? Because Solomon earned grace for what he did on that day in spite of all the bad stuff that he did with all those foreign ladies on the last half of his life. And you know what? The rabbis say that wherever you think the temple was, the sanctity there endures forever.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So that the purity laws, the nidah, all the stuff that's in Leviticus, it still holds if you go to Temple Mount.
Amen.
They'll put signs all over the place. This is Solomon's prayer still manifesting 3,000 years later. You want to talk about a legacy.
Amen.
It's hard to think of anything more powerful than that. And then you have probably my favorite. National repentance prayers. Boy, we need these in this country.
Amen.
Oh my. The most righteous people at the peak of their righteousness and effectiveness will pray to ask for forgiveness for stuff that had nothing to do with them. Okay? This was done by Moshe. It was done by Samuel, Solomon, King Hezekiah, King Josiah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. In the case of the last three, the stuff they're repenting for happened in Exodus. 900 years earlier. They're still asking for forgiveness so that they can move forward, so that they can get back home. Right? So it takes an amazing amount of humility to totally take yourself out of the equation. Right? And say, we're really sorry about what all these losers did centuries earlier. And by the way, we're really sorry for the rebels that are in our midst right now. And by the way, we think that you should please bless our children so that they don't make the mistake that these losers who were in front of us now did. I'm summarizing a lot of different of repentance prayers, right? But that is the sign of a leader. A leader, a true righteous leader, like the people we're talking about, they will take the sins of their enemies on their shoulders. They will ask for forgiveness for them, though they didn't deserve it. And they will move forward to the point where Father Yah said to Moshe, I hate all of these people, but my favor is just with you. And because my favor is with you, they don't die. Or at least they don't all die right away. 40 years, hell. Right?
Amen.
Can you imagine what would have happened to Israel if Moshe didn't intercede? But I also want to talk about a real powerful example of that. King Hezekiah. Now, most of us, when we think of Hezekiah, we think of a very righteous guy, and he was. But let's just say the dude had a bad patch. Okay? He did. He hears that the king of Assyria is coming to invade. 22 years earlier, Assyria had totally wiped out the northern kingdom and sent them packing. Right? I don't have to tell you this, Scott, do I?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Okay. 22 years later, it's Judah's turn. And this time, they send the fiercest general that they got, a guy named Sennacherib. Right? When Hezekiah hears that the Assyrians are coming, he doesn't pray. He's thinking, how can I, in the material world, keep this guy from burning my city? I heard he likes gold, so he's looking around the temple and he goes, look at that. Strips the gold off the temple walls and gives it to the king. Or gives it to Sennacherib, gives it to the general. Their response? There must be more where that came from. He's not going to give us everything all at once. Let's get them. They're weak. Right? And that's when 185,000 Assyrians show up on Hezekiah's doorstep. Right? Now what are you going to do? Again, is Hezekiah going to complain on social media? Is he going to start a blues band? I've got the Stuck in Judah blues. No. He's like, I gave him all this gold and it didn't work, because he knows that what is more precious than gold is prayer. And now he's got 185,000 of his enemies staring down his throat. So what does he do? He's like, I'm going to go into the Holy of Holies. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that King's Passage and I'm going to navigate, and I'm going to sit there in front of, yes, the Ark of the Covenant was there, because he says, O Yah, who dwells in between the cherubim, which is only said in front of the Ark of the Covenant, long story short. And he utters this prayer. Oh, did I mention, he's deathly ill. He's sure he's going to die. He can barely drag himself into the holy place. And he goes there. And what happens then is, not only does Father Yah hear his prayer, Isaiah also hears his prayer. And Father Yah says, get up and go to King Hezekiah and tell him his prayer has been heard. Next morning, all 185,000 Assyrians are dead. Next morning, Isaiah says, you've got 15 more years added to your life. And Judah will never be more strong, never be more righteous, and never be as much feared among the nations as it is right now. So you talk about a complete turnaround. Anyone who doesn't think prayer is powerful, look at what Hezekiah did.
Amen.
And that's just one of about 8 other examples I could talk about. The scripture is our guide to all of this. Next up, witnessing prayer. Like Yahshua said, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So guess what? Wives, you pray with your husbands. Husbands and wives, you pray with your children. Right? Best friends pray together. You just created an assembly. That's what has happened. Heaven will look down and go, there's an assembly. Two or more are gathered in my name.
Amen.
And then, of course, Yeshua, the Mashiach's prayer. And Yeshua, I think, had David's prayer in mind. And he probably had some ancient traditional prayers that were around at that time, like the Animodea, the waking prayer, very similar to the Lord's Prayer. And he put all of that, and he praised him first. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will is done, as in heaven, so on earth. And by the way, it is as in heaven, so on earth. Heavens come first. Okay? So I'm going to close this with some prayer tips that, again, I'm not the prayer police. Okay? These are suggestions, and no, they don't cover every single itty-bitty complication in your life. They do not. I'm just telling you, because the emails I get, you wouldn't believe, right? But this should cover most of your situations, I hope. Tip number one, like Yeshua, we should always honor Father Yah first and then ask our request. Tip number two, also bear in mind that most prayer is more about others than it is about yourself.
Amen.
Right? Okay. And even when we're praying for ourselves, I guarantee you, anyone who loves the Torah, anyone who loves Messiah, is going to be praying for themselves so they can help others. So even then, it's really not about us. And the idea is, when we pray for each other, because we're not praying for ourselves, but they are, or you're praying for me, right? That's what prayer cover is. That's how we protect ourselves from all the mess that's out there. Three, pray at the same times of day. Yes, I said times, plural, right? Morning and evening. You know, Deuteronomy tells you how to do that, doesn't it? You will think about these words when you're sitting at home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Great time to pray. Don't you think?
Amen.
And keep it consistent, as if you can. Sometimes things will happen, then you just get back to it. Right? Again, my opinion. But this one's a big one for me. Don't pray while you're doing other things. It's not time to vacuum the house when you're praying. I've seen people do that. Seriously. You have to have your kavana, your spiritual focus, pure and on Him. Don't send out that email. Pray to Him. What are you going to do? You're going to get something on your phone that says, has Yah waiting? You just press that? I'll be right with you. Great, I am. I just have to talk to this lady. No. Stay focused. And also, and I get this question a lot. Do I pray in the name of the Father? Do I pray in the name of the Son? How do I do this? Let me tell you something. The number one problem that I see, and I'm not even going to say it's a denomination. I'm talking all the people who are influenced to have biblical faith. The number one thing is I see them forget the Father. And boy, does that, talk about zeal for your house will consume you. That really just is overpowering with me. How can you forget the Father? Yes, I know, we love the Son. Of course we do. Saved us from sin, death, and hell. Absolutely. Praise Yeshua. But if you think you're going to say in Jesus' name and you're going to forget the Father who made Him possible,
amen.
I don't think so, guys. I really, really don't think so.
Amen.
Without Father Yah, there is no Messiah.
That's right.
In fact, I've told the Orthodox this. I said, when you get right down to it, Hashem is the Messiah. There is no other. Because without Him, there is no salvation, period. End of discussion. So, the thing is, you have to put the Father first because Yeshua did. What's the first thing He says in that prayer? Our Father. Then He tells us where He is. Who's in heaven? Set apart is your name. It's that. If He doesn't shortcut dear old dad, why does anyone think they can do it? Really? But also, yes, we get into our Hebrew prayers and our rabbinic prayers and our traditional stuff. I came out of that. I understand that. I appreciate that.
Amen.
I do. But here's the thing. You do have to include the Son. Even though there is no Son without the Father, Father Yah made a choice. He didn't pick some guy named Joe Smith in Bayonne, New Jersey to save us from his sins, did he? He didn't just pick some dude with a loud voice on YouTube to save us from sins. He picked Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth to save us from sins. So if you don't acknowledge that, you do not acknowledge His choice.
Amen.
And he's like, well, if you don't even agree with me how salvation comes, what do you expect me to do for you?
That's right.
Right? So this is why you pray in the name, I say, Yahweh. I make no bones about that. I pray, ask these things in your set apart name, Father Yahweh, and in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, through whom you, Father Yah, getting back to Him again, have given us eternal life.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That way you cover it. Now I know someone's going to go, but what about the Holy Spirit? Right? So, what about? I'm going to collect myself for a moment.
You're safe here.
Okay. Lock the door.
That's awesome.
The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is just another name for Yahweh the Father. Thank you. Okay? And I go to the Tanakh for my proof of that. David said in Psalm 51, verses 10 through 11, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Isaiah said the same thing. Isaiah 63, 10 through 11 says the same exact thing. He's talking to Father Yah, and he says, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. So, when we're talking about Father Yah, Holy Spirit is just another title. Adonai, El Shaddai, Elohim. It's all a title for him. How else would the prophet Isaiah tell us that seven spirits, all named Yahweh, are the one true Yahweh resting on the Messiah? Powerful image. I think that might take a minute to... Okay? Number six, and I'm almost done. Spend a good time in prayer. This may be throw you a little. Asking him on how to pray better. I mean, if you're praying for blessings, and you know blessings come through prayer, and we're talking about all the ways that Father Yah fulfills prayer, what better time to ask to pray better than when you're praying? Right?
Yep.
Are any of us confident that we are praying the exact right way all the time?
No.
No. And if you are, well, you got other problems. Seriously. And by the way, I know a lot of folks like to do what I call the pre-flight checklist type prayer. Yeah, it's like, okay, I praised him. I asked about my family. I asked about this. I asked about that. And I've got to break ungodly soul ties. And I got to make sure there's no impurity in my house. And boom, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. And boy, it takes 30 minutes to get through all that stuff. I think he knows what you need.
Amen.
I'm not saying don't pray on those things, but you don't necessarily have to pray on all of them all the time. You can ask him for wisdom to pray better so that you pray on the right things at the right time.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, you'll never leave the house. Think about it. So the thing is, what that leads to when you've got a lot of stuff and you don't got a whole lot of time, you begin to sound like an auctioneer when you're saying, Father, Father in heaven, I ask that you please bless my children, bless my job, bless my thing. I forgot what I was going to say. You're not an auctioneer. So don't pray like one. And finally, perhaps, and I went over this, but I'm going to put it in at the end again. Most importantly of all, when you ask Father Yah a question, spend some time to get the answer.
Yes.
Right?
Again,
you wouldn't treat your friend like that. You wouldn't treat your parents like that. Don't treat the creator of the universe like that.
Amen.
Right. And that's basically it. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Oh.
Yes?
I've heard a different teacher talk about various covenants, and they will divide